Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power, and we may say unto him, what doest thou?
Okay, today, for this edition of the Word of the King, we are going to be interviewing Brother Ken Wolfgang and Sister Ruth Wolfgang of Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and also Mr., howbeit my brother in Christ, Gerald Cox, concerning their involvement in an upcoming event that is being performed on behalf of the Pilot Dog School of the Blind. So, without a further ado, I would start by asking you, Kenny, how did God put it on your heart to start having these concerts in support of the Pilot Dog School of the Blind?
Okay, well, in answer to that, Tim, it goes like this. 2 years back, as you know, on this same program, The Word of the King, we did an interview talking about leader dogs for the blind. Well, by the same token, as you know, I mentioned there, leader dogs are the same as seeing eye dogs. They do the same job. The only difference is it's just like a tire, one called Michelin, one called Goodyear. They're both brand names for the same thing, called a tire. Well, the same thing with a pilot dog. They're nothing more than another brand name for the same job. They all guide people. These are dogs that are all trained to guide people that are blind. Now, some of the schools, unfortunately, even though they claim to be non-profit, they seem to be more business-oriented and seem to be a lot more, you could say, more on profit than rather non-profit, and they get more funding than others. Pilot Dogs is not one of them. They are not funded by state or federal funds and rely on the generosity of those out there who can help them, such as you, me, or whoever else is willing to help. Pilot Dogs, believe it or not, if we think of a regular little city block like here in Ashtabula, or I'm not sure how big the city blocks are there in New York, but in Ashtabula, a little city block isn't very big. It's something right around maybe 200 square feet. Well, typically, that's the size property, about 200 to 500 square feet. That's the size property for the kennels, offices, and student quarters of Pilot Dogs Incorporated. Unlike Leader Dogs for the Blind, who has a several acre, and I emphasize acre, premises, and who is right now at this present time getting ready to build a multi-million dollar kennel facility. Obviously, not saying that they are rich. I am just saying that they obviously have got obviously some funds coming in and ways of earning money. But Pilot, being a small school, has not only reached out to help blind people, but they're also training dogs for balance dogs. They're training dogs for hearing ear dogs. They train seizure dogs, etc. And all of these dogs are done on that little small parcel of land that they use for their work and do just as much as a big school like Leader. And unfortunately, they don't do it with the same multi-million dollar facility and thus can very much use the help. And that's why God put it on my heart to this time, instead of helping a place like Leader, After seeing the help that Stella has been to Gerald Cox personally, we decided to help Pilot Dogs this time.
Sister Ruth, Wolfgang, you and Kenny started this music ministry as the Ashtabula Angels. When and how did God lay it upon your heart to start this music ministry as the Ashtabula Angels?
Okay, it was in about 1997. We were out at First Church of the Nazarene watching a program, a bunch of little children's musical, and the Lord laid it on both of our hearts to start the Ashtabula Angels. The Lord actually spoke to Kenny, and I agreed with him in prayer, so we all got together and prayed over it too and decided we would go with what the Lord's will was in that.
Yeah, which in this case, at that point, when God called us as the Ashtabula Angels, first thing, that floored us. Definitely floored us with the name because...
Yeah, true.
Angels? Now, come on, we're nowhere near prideful, and I know for well sure that I'm a sinner, and I could fall and sin within 2 seconds, just like that.
We all could.
But then God reminded me what angels are. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, angels are ministering spirits. The key word being ministering. Secondly, in Revelation, we find over and over again, the angels kept telling John, do not worship me, do not worship us. We are but fellow servants. So, with that definition in mind, we finally surrendered to the name, the Ashtabula Angels, and that is to be fellow ministers and fellow servants and nothing more.
Before I ask Brother Gerald Cox a question concerning him and his pilot dog, Stella, Brother Ken Wolfgang, I would ask you to please give myself and those listening a historical layout of the ministry at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, how it started, from where it has come, how God has brought it through the trials and tribulations of life, and where God has Holiness Bibles for the Blind as a ministry today.
Well, it's interesting that you would ask that, considering the fact that the Ashtabula Angels are a sub-ministry of Holiness Bibles for the Blind. So that's very interesting that you'd bring that up. Now, how did we come about? Well, way back when I was first called to preach, that was in 1990, God called me to preach, and it was... Actually, the first preacher, he was a missionary to the truck drivers, Tom Smith. And the Lord showed me that he wanted me to go out and witness and help those who are inconvenienced by blindness. As soon as the Lord said that to me, I'm like, yeah, right. I can't drive. And you want me to go from blind school to blind school, blind camp to blind camp, and you want me to witness to blind people? Now, how in heaven you want me to do that? I'm like, yeah, right. I'm not too sure about this that I'm hearing in my heart. So I want to be sure this is God. So like Gideon, I lay a fleece before the Lord. I said, okay, if this is really you. And then I laid out specifically in prayer what I wanted the Lord to answer that prayer to show me it was really him, because the devil can and does mimic real things on occasions. Like he's going to mimic in the last days Christ with the Antichrist. He's going to mimic real prophets with the false prophet. Things like that. So I said to the Lord, look, if this is really you, I want you to send in another missionary. Now, I had no clue what was coming up. I couldn't read the bulletin because I couldn't see it. So I said, Lord, and I didn't keep up on all the church happenings or anything. I had no clue what was coming up. And they never did announce it, what was coming up. I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm willing to go, but I want you to send another missionary in here. And then either in his message or at the end of his message, very specifically to say these words. If there is somebody here that you're calling to the mission field beyond, to the work beyond, it would be so wonderful if you would just call them. Well, lo and behold, and we still have that sermon available through our ministry on the website, the sermon entitled, It Only Takes One, and you could hear it from the missionary's own mouth, David Cummings, where he preached the very message, It Only Takes One, when I was called to preach back in 1990. At that message, I got up. You could hear it in the invitation. I got up. I surrendered, went down, put my face in that carpet at that altar, and I surrendered to the blind ministry. Now, at that point, I did not still know how God was going to do it. There was a lot of preachers who did not accept my calling. But I said, forget them. God had a calling. I was going to do it. I stayed persistent. Finally, in 1997, a minister accepted my calling and licensed me to preach. Several years later, a church ordained me. Finally, as things went on, a website came available, which is the one we presently have, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. And now we are reaching out to the blind via the website, and those who get in contact with us needing help for either Bibles, or as in this case, Brother Cox, who needed a help with a dog. And so whatever help is needed, we do that through the ministry here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Now, the name came about in a very strange way when we were writing some letters through the ministry. Up to this time, we had called it Bible Baptist for the Blind, the Blind Ministry. I had called it many names, had no clue what I was really supposed to call it because I was waiting on God. But one day Ruth and I were sitting at the Ashtabula Library typing, because we didn't have our own computer at that time. And we were typing away in an email and writing up a letter on their word processor. And lo and behold, just right out of my mouth, it just pops out. I had no clue how it came out. I says, put on there, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And I told her to type it with a capital H, capital O, capital L, capital Y, lowercase N-E-S-S, and the word Bible, all in capital letters, B-I-B-L-E, lowercase S, and then for the blind. And after that, that was the name that stuck and has stuck ever since. And then I realized what God was trying to say. Holy Bible is for the Bibles that we try to get out. In the King James Version, the 1611, and nothing else, because all the rest are comic books and perversions. Secondly, we believe that God says that we are to live holy, with holiness in our life, holiness unto the Lord, meaning we got to live separate. And thirdly, obviously, because the ministry is to the blind and for the blind, we are working for the blind on Jesus Christ's behalf. And thus, that's how the name came about. But I would have never thought of that name in a million years. And anybody who wants to give me credit for it, they're going to hear it first from my own mouth. Don't give me credit. Give Jesus all the credit. And don't think of giving me 1 ounce of it.
Okay, now, Brother Gerald Cox, tell me, how long have you had Stella as your pilot dog?
1 year and 7 months.
How long did it take Stella to get trained as your pilot dog, Brother Cox?
It will take a little over 4 months to train a guide dog. Any guide dog. And some will take more than a few months. They are specialized for something else.
And how long, Brother Gerald, did it take for you to adjust and get used to Stella?
In pilot guide dog school, we are required to learn with the pilot guide dog 2 weeks, because I already had my training with my 3 other guide dog.
Please tell me and those listening, Brother Gerald, what the basic training process for a dog such as Stella when being trained to be a pilot dog, how What is the basic training process for such a dog to go through?
The guide dog to be trained start with the obedience. Go ahead.
He wants you to go ahead.
Okay, you want me to? All right, well, Brother Tim, I'm going to kind of field this one for Brother Jerry, because even though he started with obedience, now, that was good, but I'm going to give you a little bit more because I've kind of studied this subject quite well, and anybody really interested in it, although there's not a book put out by Pilot Dogs, there was a book put out by a lady named Margaret Gibbs.
Yeah.
Back in 1980, she was an American Kennel Club trainer who went in to study guide dog work for a AKA, American Kennel Club, magazine called Front and Finish. And the objective was they wanted to know what the difference between guide dog training and AKA American Kennel Club standards were. And what she found was she went to, unfortunately, not Pilot Dogs, but Leader Dogs. But since all guide dog training is basically, as to your question, what basic training, since it's all basically the same, this will answer your question. But the book, if you get it, it's called Leader Dogs for the Blind by Margaret Gibbs, will give you a basic overview of all training that a guide dog must go through. First, all dog guides, and I'm using the term dog guide generally, because when you first see a dog in harness, if you don't know the school, it's proper to refer to the dog by the general term of dog guide, because guide dogs are in California. It's a school, while Pilot Dogs is in Columbus. Now, the first step is they are trained right from the minute they're weaned from their mother at 6 weeks. They begin their training as a puppy, as Gerald made first mention of, obedience. They are trained with a puppy raiser who gives them from 6 months up to 1 year, 1 year, 2 months of training in obedience and house manners. This obedience and house manners training is to get them ready not only for that, but the basic experiences of man. At that point, once they know their basics, then, just like boot camp, then they go from that basic training to the next basic training, where they learn their basic obedience training from a trainer, which that's when they've been turned over back to the school from their puppy raiser. Now, if a puppy raiser... To be a puppy raiser, you have to have one heck of a big heart, because imagine giving your love, attention, etc. to a puppy from 6 weeks to 1 year, 1 year, 2 months, and then turning it over to the school again. Watching that puppy walk through the door, not to see it again, because now the school is going to be training that dog for a person like Gerald. Now, at this point, the dog starts basic obedience training. Not only the basic commands that it's already learned or may even know, like sit, down, come, stay, but it's also going to learn other commands. Right, left, forward. Then after that, it gets into basic one. From basic to basic one, which it's going to learn not only forward, but find the blank, which is starts on noun discrimination. Find a blank is find a curb, find a counter, find a chair, find the stairs, find the door. These commands then will be built upon through the next 3 months to 4 months, and at the end of 4 months, the dog would have went from basic one, basic two, all the way into advanced, which is basic four, as they call it, or advanced. At the end of advanced, the dog is now ready for placement, which at that point, Gerald could easily answer when the question comes up, as to what the student experiences when he walks through the door, because that's either a two-week or four-week, depending on the student, if they've had a previous dog, 2 weeks if they've had a previous dog, or 4 weeks for a new person who has never had a service dog. But that's when the student actually walks through the door and has to work with that trained dog. The dog is trained, but it's like having a raw, finished product. Now, the student has to learn how to handle the dog, and then after they leave the school, that team has to learn to work together for the rest of their life.
They say, Brother Gerald, that when someone is a blind person, has a dog that they depend upon to guide them to and fro, to get them from point A to point B, day after day after day, it does not take long before that dog almost becomes like a relative to you. How long did it take for your pilot dog, Stella, to become like a relative to you?
It will take 1 year, sometimes less, depend how you handle the guide dog. You will treat the guide dog just like your eyes. When you were born, you take your eyes to something. It take a while to get focus to the point where you can see the face. With the guide dog, to be banished, we have to spend time every place we go, stay close. Whenever we stop, after we did the walk, we praise them and we give them treat off and on. But they need a praise.
Mm-hmm.
To let it guide dog know we love guide dog. Same way with the baby. When you raise a baby, you got to treat the same way. Love and tender. Dog need to be petted. Need to be hugged. And when they go to bed, they will sleep on the floor next to you. Sometime they will get on a bed.
Yeah.
But I don't boot them off.
Hope not.
But the rule is, we're not supposed to have dog on a bed because of the fleas and other infection. You know how to handle certain things, do and don't. And go outside to park, in other words, to do number one and two. Every time we go out, they finish their job, we give them love and petted. And when we do the training, going out to the street, to the bus, to the church, to the building, they always stay next to you. Mm-hmm. With the harness on, no one to touch the guide dog. Unless you're being asked to be petted, it's up to the master saying yes and no. When we say no, there's a reason for it. We don't know the person, or we do know the person. Same way with the child. We have to be careful with the child. because they do have a childhood diseases. We have to be careful because it will transmit it to the dog and to me. We have to think about it before we say, yes, you may pet it. There are times we have a boy or girl gets really rowdy. We don't let them touch because they wouldn't obey the parents. So they wouldn't obey me. And in order for the guy to be petted, the harness have to come up, not on. And while they have a harness on, they are not to be petted. It'll be same way. The guide dog is my eyes. Whenever you touch the guide dog without permission, or even with permission, you're touching my eyes, my open eyes. For those who sneak up, not asking permission, or touch a guide dog, it's like somebody using a two finger poking my eyes. That hurt. That's distracting. Dog will distract the attention where I want to go, what I want to do, and where he or she, the guide dog, want to go and obey the master command. When somebody's fool around with the guide dog with the harness on, it gonna be distracted. I'm gonna be in trouble. Guide dog will be in trouble too. Same way with while walking on the sidewalk. Some people yell out the window. Distraction. Beeping horn. Distraction. And for those who are yelling out the window, as far as I'm concerned, pardon my language, they're a bunch of cowards. I had received a lot of bad names. A lot of words you don't even want to mention on a microphone. And to be bondage is love. Lots of love. Lots of petting. Sometimes you bribe him with a treat, but it's not a really good idea. But when you're bondage, you give some. Sometimes they get overweight, then you have to really cut back. Yeah. When the dog is overweight, they will get arthritis and some illness go with it if it's overweight. So I have to keep track of it and the health. If I don't do anything correctly, the bondage is not going to be attached very good. So I got to go with the guide dog regulation and rules, and most of all, common sense. Common sense and love go good with the guide dog. My guide dog bondage within 3 months. Because this guide dog I got is 4.5 years old when I got him at the guide dog school. Normally, I get it 2 years. My first three dogs, I got it within 2 years old. This one, I am her second master. The first one she had only last few months, and her master is a lady, passed away unexpectedly. So my guide dog had a little bit more training than normally does, because when she go back to school, she got to start all over again, make sure she is trained and correctly before go on the second one. And when she see me, she loved me, licked my face for an hour with love and care.
Yeah.
And she missed the first master, but she realized she got the second master I could be trained with and be with and live with, all the way from Columbus, Ohio to Ashtabula. Friend of mine told me she been watching my lab while my daughter was doing the driving, taking us home. Stella was looking at me all the time for an hour and a half drive. She was looking at my face all the way, eyes to eyes contact. That tell me something. She already attached to me.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians. All but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.